Spurgeon on the New Covenant. Introduction. I admit it. In this book I have been highly selective, biased. But I am not in any way trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. Let me make it very clear right from the start. I am not, repeat, not, trying to make out that Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a proto-New Covenant theologian. Not at all. Most definitely he was not. On the questions of the Old and New Covenants, the law and the believer, Spurgeon was inconsistent, even self-contradictory. At times, when he was addressing these issues, he could say some very fine things. At times, when he was addressing these issues, he could say some very fine things, scriptural things. But he could also speak in a way that any covenant theologian would, even in the same sermon. He was, I say, inconsistent. He was not alone in this, of course. As I've shown elsewhere, while D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said some excellent things on the law, he could also repeat the mantras of covenant theology. Like Spurgeon, he was inconsistent and contradicted himself. We can broaden the point. Many Reformed teachers, that is, covenant theologians, when they forget their system and simply expound and apply Scripture, can say most heartwarming things on the theology of the New Covenant. But alas, when they are being polemical against New Covenant theologians, then their system is uppermost, and Scripture goes, if not out of the window, very close to it. I have given evidence of this elsewhere, and will return to it in this volume. So Spurgeon was not a New Covenant theologian, no. That being said, however, Spurgeon did say the things that follow in this book. While I will not make any man my authority, I have published these Spurgeon extracts because he set out things which support the truth I try to declare in my works, and set them out in his usual lively way. I have found much pleasure and profit in reading these passages from Spurgeon, and I am confident that others will find the same. Having these gems gathered in such a small work will, I hope, prove a boon to many. To make things as easy as possible, I have tried to introduce some sort of order in what follows, arranging Spurgeon's remarks in various chapters, each on a selected topic. However, on occasion I have used part of an extract in more than one chapter, and this coupled with the fact that within each chapter I have not tried to synthesize the extracts inevitably means there will be a measure of repetition and reinforcement, for which, incidentally, I do not apologize. In addition, I have, where necessary, introduced small modernizations of Spurgeon's vocabulary, without altering the sense of his words. As for this little book being a boon, not least I hope some covenant theologians might be encouraged by what they read here. Encouraged, that is, to let go of their system for once, and simply read Scripture on this very important matter of the covenants, the law, and the believer. I recognize that we all have our presuppositions, but if only believers would read and accept Scripture, unfiltered by the works of men, especially in this area the works of Calvin, the Puritans, and the Westminster in the 1689 particular Baptist confessions and their like, I am confident there will be far more open advocates of the theology of the New Covenant than there are at present. I hope my comments on these extracts might go at least a little way to help in this regard. For I am convinced that here in the UK there are many who are sympathetic to New Covenant theology, but who do not come out openly and say so. It could be that some don't want to be labelled. I fully understand this, but it is, I am afraid, a pipe dream. For good or ill, we all have labels. If we don't adopt them for ourselves, others will do it for us, slapping their stickers all over us. I believe Christian was one such. Anabaptist certainly was. Antinomian is a favourite term of abuse today. But there it is. We're stuck with labels. Evangelical, Baptist, Pentecostalist, Presbyterian, and so on. Speaking for myself, I have bowed to the inevitable, and am willing to be labelled a New Covenant theologian. I came to the theology of the New Covenant by trying to preach Hebrews and then Galatians. It was only years later that I found out that I was in fact what is commonly called a New Covenant theologian. I hope that publishing this collection of extracts from Spurgeon may do something to encourage some, perhaps many, who hitherto have kept their counsel to come out openly and own their allegiance to the theology of the New Covenant. What a blessing that would be! The critical mass and all that.